Fear, The Walking Dead Talk Through, Episode 32, El Matadero Review.
Welcome to Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through, a fan podcast dedicated to Fear the Walking Dead on AMC. Join us each week as we discuss the characters, story developments, and theories of Fear the Walking Dead. Send in your thoughts about each episode by calling 304-837-2278 or by visiting our feedback page at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback. And now, here's your hosts, Brian and Ruthie.
Hey, survivors. Welcome to another episode of Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm not Ruthie.
And I'm Kyle.
And I'm Brian. All right. Well, anyway, that's starting to annoy me at this point.
I know. Well, let's get through next week and then we can get it fixed.
Yeah. This episode is to discuss season 3, episode 14. Which is titled El Matadero, which they actually mentioned in the episode. The translation is The Slaughterhouse. Written by Alan Page, and I remember from this season, he wrote season 3, episode 4, which was 100. The nearly all Spanish episode. Directed by Stefan Schwartz. All right, well, what the hell is happening?
What the hell is happening?
I have no idea.
We probably have errata, but I don't know of any, so maybe that is the errata this week. All right. So let's talk about ratings. Unfortunately, ratings were down this week. Fear the Walking Dead got a 0.77. in the 1849, with 2.231 million, which is down from last week's 0.88 in the 1849, with 2.304 million. So Talking Dead was actually mixed. It got a 0.30 in the 1849, with 953,000 viewers. So that rating is slightly lower from last week's 0.32, but it is up from 910,000 viewers last week. Now, I also jotted down the ratings for Robot Chicken, The Walking Dead Special. Now, did you get to see this, Kyle?
I did not. I was so busy this week, and I didn't have it set to record.
I have. Well, it's actually, you can watch it online, which is how I watched it. And it was actually quite funny. And it actually had, like, the actors from the actual show. And I think Scott Gimple and Robert Kirkman, actually, and even Chris Hardwick, using their voices in this. So, and there were, you know, actors from previous seasons and, you know, current actors as well. So, like, John Bernthal was in there.
Oh, cool.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan, Andrew Lincoln, Norman Reedus, Danai Gurira, Lauren Cohan. There
were that's a lot.
Yeah, even like Scott Wilson. So there were a lot of them that were represented. And anyway, it's really funny. Chandler Riggs too. He actually plays a big role in it. I almost forgot about him. So, yeah. When you see it, you'll see what I mean.
Check it out.
His character actually plays a big role in it. But anyway, That got a 0.51 in the 18-49 at, I guess, midnight. So it was played after Fear and Talking Dead with 1.024 million viewers. So, and I looked it up and I didn't write it down, but I guess Robot Chicken does really well with the youngins. It got like higher than that as an 18-34 rating. So, yeah, I thought that was interesting. But anyway, ratings are still looking at the trend there. You can see that they've been fairly steady this half season. You know, it did go down from last week, but they're still pretty steady. So hopefully they will be up for the finale, which is, of course, a two-parter next week. So there's huge news, and it's so huge that we're not going to talk about it yet. We are going to make you wait until after the discussion of the episode. And once we talk about it, you probably know what we're going to say. But we figure we're going to like devote a segment to it. And there's a poll on the Facebook group to talk about it, and there's comments from that. So we're just going to, after we discuss this episode, we'll get into the crossover. And if there was ever an appropriate use of that, it's this time.
Yeah, totally.
All right.
All right.
What did you think of El Matadero?
Well, I wish I had gotten to have a rewatch. I was so busy this week, but this still was good. I kind of did give it a little bit less because of certain points that we'll probably talk about, but it's a 9.6, another Madison blunder.
Well, that's still pretty high.
Well, I think last week I was 9.8.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, Madison, just always a blunder.
Well, I am going to do something I don't think I've ever done. I know that Ruthie has done this before, but I am going to set aside my rating right now because, quite honestly, I can't figure out how to rate this one. There are things about this episode that I loved and things that I hated. So I need to process a little bit and with feedback and us talking about it, Kyle, at the end, I'm going to figure out a rating, or maybe halfway during I'll figure out a rating. But quite honestly, I don't know how to rate this one. I mean, okay, it's not terrible. It's not a 7. You know, it's somewhere between 8 and 10. I just don't know where.
Nowhere, yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's I never do this, but I'm doing it this time. All right. Well, since I was too chicken to give a rating, I'm gonna give the listener ratings. PB and Zane, which we haven't heard from Judy in quite a while. She's been behind, I know, watching the episodes, but she finally caught up, and she rates it 8 out of 10. Ophelia couldn't hang on for 10 more seconds. Lara gave it 8.75 out of 10. Let's call them pig brain stems. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And Dieta, she didn't come up with anything quippy. She just rated it 8.5 out of 10. Hmm. All right. Again with Ruthie. She has something to say because it's time for Awesome Sauce. And she will grace these airwaves in a couple of weeks. All right. Why don't you, since I did all the ratings, why don't you do the listener Awesome Sauce?
All right. Well, PB Insane says her Awesome Sauce was Alicia in the ball pit when the child walker pops out as my Awesome Sauce, although it was kind of predictable. Well, true, but yeah. It was still pretty cool.
Yeah.
Laura gave it her awesome sauce was the pig-tailed walker in the ball pit. One thing Fear is doing very well is maintaining tension and fear and actually making the walker seem scary. And Dieta says her awesome sauce was the child walker in the ball pit. I believe we have a consensus.
Yeah, and that's why I did not give that my awesome sauce because, it was well covered. So,
yep.
Okay. Well, you just gave a bunch. So, again, I'm kind of doing things a little weird this episode. So, my awesome sauce is the drug trip. And I'll explain that later why I said that. But yeah, it was pretty trippy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the psychedelic parts of it, I thought were pretty trippy. So I guess that would be awesome. That would be my first awesome sauce. And the only one I've written in the notes, but I do have one other thing. All right.
All right. Well, and then the ball pit walker, like I thought, you know, that was kind of cool, but of course that kind of already got covered by everybody. But I mean, I guess the new character, which I'm calling the Sister Michonne, because she reminded me a lot of Michonne, like with her choice of weapons, just kind of the way she carried herself. And the character's name is Diane, and she's played by Edwin Findlay. And apparently, I found out just from an article that I saw today that she's friends with Diane. Is it Guerrera? I can't really say her name right.
Guerrera. And I think you kind of butchered the names there. You said Diane. Isn't it Diana and Edwina, not Edwin?
Hey, I'm tired. Like my brain's okay. Not working.
Yeah, we're recording a little late tonight, so
but,
my fault. But that's okay.
I made that my awesome sauce because it was kind of nice to – we have somebody new to kind of get – you know, introduced to. So it seems like it's been a while that we've had any kind of new characters like that potentially seems to be probably going forward with the show. So I was like, oh, that's cool. Yay.
It wasn't awesome. It was quite tragic, but I guess, you know, in terms of things that I thought were well done, the scene, you know, when, Ophelia died and, you know, and then Daniel, you know, trying to, you know, wake her up or, you know, revive her and his reaction to that, like that whole couple of minutes of the episode were, I thought, very well done and really sad. Yep. I mean, I wanted those two. You know, I wasn't surprised. I mean, they kind of, I think they put a big target on Ophelia. I had to figure that, you know, and I think we even talked about it last episode that we thought that, you know, she could have gotten bitten in, mm-hmm. in that, because, you know, that one infected, you know, got pretty close to her and, you know, it kind of looked like she could have been infected, and she was, mm-hmm. You know, and everything was riding on Ophelia, you know, seeing Daniel and that would pay everything off. And of course that didn't happen.
Yeah.
But I thought, you know, either she would die way before or she would die, you know, just as Daniel was coming or something, you know, and they would actually say something to each other, but mm-hmm. that didn't happen. And so I don't know, the way that they played it was effective. I thought, you know, some could say predictable. Mm-hmm. I mean, he knew she was going to die. It's just a question of when. And
yeah.
I thought the whole thing, and then after the part when Madison and Daniel kind of talked about it and, you know, her first answer, you could see he didn't believe it. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, she continued to talk and he pretty much figured out that, yeah, she's telling the truth now, that that's what she said. 'Cause he could totally, I think, get that Ophelia might say that and, you know, the response. So I thought that was really good. Best part of the episode, I thought, by far. So.
Oh, cool. I liked that. I mean, that whole scene was, I did kind of, I've always felt like Ophelia would be going further and that, yes, something would happen to her and, you know, that would be her role or that or her part. And like, it kind of made me almost a little mad that it's like, she didn't even get to, like, Daniel didn't even get to say hello or I love you. It was like, she was gone. So like this whole time he's, you know, knowing that he's going to be seeing his daughter again. And then that's how he sees it. I mean, it's like so tragic.
It was.
Yeah.
And, you know, we talked very early on, I think it may have been the episode 100, when I remember saying that the absolution that Daniel could receive really could only, and the forgiveness that he really needed could only come from her. And she didn't get to forgive him. You know, mm-hmm. The fact that she said that, you know, she really was looking forward to getting to know him, I think was, you know, de facto forgiveness. But, you know, the fact that she never got to say, you know, I forgive you or whatever, because I think that was the one thing that his character needed. That's not something that he's going to get. I guess in many ways, that's kind of realistic.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
You know, in reality, that's kind of what happens.
Yeah. Well, and that just made me think, too, that like, okay, now he has basically two of his loved ones that he never got to really say goodbye to, because his wife, he never saw her again, basically, or did, I don't, because he never did get to see her. They went to go to that military outpost to go get her, but she already died.
Yeah. In fact, you know, the only time that he got to see her was in
her hallucination. Yeah.
Hallucinating.
So it's like, you know, that's obviously been on his conscience and on his soul. And now here's Ophelia that he now once again doesn't even get a chance to say anything. I wonder if that's going to play something unfortunate with his psyche.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, but what's her name? Lola has kind of been presented as the substitute to Ophelia. So I think Lola's going to kind of fill the surrogate daughter at this point. So. All right. Do you have any more awesome sauce?
No, that was all.
It is now time for...
You're worthless and weak!
Sauce. All right. Well, we have... I guess I will start with PB and Zane Judy. And her weak sauce is Nick taking drugs is her weak sauce. And guess what? That's my weak sauce too. this is part of the reason why I'm having such a hard time with giving a rating on this episode, because I hated this. I mean, I thought that the way they did it was kind of trippy, but the fact that he, you know, went on another bender, looked like the possibility that he could continue said bender, you know, now that he's, mm-hmm. You know, and I think, make no mistake, you know, whatever the guy's name was, which I couldn't understand. Was the guy American or Mexican? Because he sounded American some of the time and Mexican the other time. I didn't understand the drug dealer guy. But anyway.
Oh.
You know, gives him the brainstem, and I don't think it was pigs, by the way. It had to have been had to have been infected brainstem, which is just bugs my mind.
Yeah, like that doesn't.
Yeah,
it seems dangerous, and also like, how does that work? You know, that's like, okay, I'm going to trip out on the infected that have a disease or virus, and so I'm going to use that as my drug. Like, yeah, I didn't understand either, because I didn't know if it's like, was it really infected or was it actually humans?
Yeah,
but
I don't know. That is a question that you know, we don't know. But what we do know is, I have read, and I didn't look this up before us recording, but I believe I've heard that, you know, that is the source of, you know, pure adrenaline, or, you know, epinephrine or whatever it's called. Epinephrine is what they call it medically. But anyway, that's like, it at its highest concentration, its purest form, and that's essentially what the brainstem, you know, runs on, I think. And so, yeah, that would probably be extremely high concentrated, you know. But, you know, and drug dealer, of course, gives it to him for free, you know.
Yeah, I know. That didn't make sense.
Well, no, of course it made sense. You know, that's hey, you know, the first one's on me because – you're going to be paying me, you know, until you're dead.
But I mean,
hooking the customer, you know?
No. Well, then that means they have quite a supply of that then. So it's not so rare. I don't know. It seems like a brainstem, depending on where it comes from, I guess. It just, yeah, it's hook, line, and sinker. But then it's like, you must have a lot of those then.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I just don't like that he did this. I don't understand why he did this, felt necessary to expose Troy to this, you know. The fact that, you know, Troy, I've listened to a few other podcasts, and some couldn't understand about him not drinking. Well, Troy doesn't drink because both his mother and father were drunks.
Right.
So he doesn't drink as a result, you know, and he's even said things to that effect. So you have to remember that. And, you know, so he forced alcohol on Troy. Yeah, you know, Troy's a psychopath, but, you know, besides that fact. So I don't really understand, you know, that whole thing, and then at the end, him saying he can't go back to his mom or something again, which again was puzzling. Although I do understand that part, the whole trip and everything was just maddening. And anyway, I just didn't like it at all. The only thing I liked about it was how it was shown creatively.
Yeah, I didn't really put any weak sauce in the notes, but I was like, you know, because I really, there are some parts of the show that were just a little bit like, not necessarily, I guess, predictable, but just like, okay, cool. That just like, you know, this helps the story go forward. But yeah, but I have to agree with most, you know, everybody else, though. It is like, I didn't understand why Nick chose, like, why he did that, because I didn't see anything that, you know, might have brought him down. Like, you know, he was just with his sister, was kind of like, hey, you know, you got to do your own thing and blah blah blah, and then he goes back to, you know, to the bazaar. But then, is it because of Ophelia? Like, you know, it's like, wouldn't you think if you're gonna have a relapse, then you would be struggling with some kind of a downer, so to speak, like a situation that, you know, made you upset or like whatever. And he didn't seem to have any of that going on. He just kind of was like, oh, drugs, I'll take them.
Like, I don't know if it was the fact that, you know, Madison laid that pretty heavy on him, saying, you know, I don't know what I would do without you. If it was that or just, you know.
Exactly what, because it wasn't clear to me what was going through his head at the time. I just thought it was like, why would you do that after you've been pretty much like trying to keep everybody together, or, you know, keep Troy from doing even more horrible things. You know, I don't know. It just seemed weird. And then, of course, I guess, you know, once a addict, always an addict. So it's just like you have that taste and it's like, oh, I want more. And maybe that's what pushed him to start messing with Troy, because, you know, Troy does look up to him and he's all like, well, just do this and we're just gonna go, you know, get wasted. So
yeah. All right, well, we got another couple of weak sauces, one related to the same thing, but we have Laura. Oh geez, can you take the next one?
Yeah. Well, and so Laura, she had a weak sauce, and that was some of the directing decisions, especially the frantic editing when Nick and Troy set off on their walking escapade. It seemed out of place for the series.
Yeah, so that seemed to be the thing that I liked. So Laura didn't like that part. But yeah, in general, though, like there were some other questionable things too, which I think have one more weak sauce that I don't have written down. But now I think about it, I must say. Anyway, our last thing is from Deanna, and her weak sauce is that Troy is alive still, and yet Ophelia dies. Can't disagree with that one, Deanna.
that boy has some plot armor, that's all.
Yeah. So you didn't put anything down, but can you think of a weak sauce?
I wish again I had was able to do another rewatch. But the drug trip kind of was interesting, but then all over the place, and then maybe my weak sauce is Madison, just because, not that it was a weak sauce as in per the show, but she's a weak sauce because everything she touches just goes to heck, and she another blunder, you know, she's always telling everybody, hey, I'm going to solve it all, and yeah, you guys follow me, to being like, I have no more option, like ideas, like sorry. I think she said that to Strand, and Strand was like, you screwed this up. Anyways.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. And Alicia is throwing that on Madison too. And I don't know. I don't think what she's done here is all that bad. You know, I mean, maybe you can question her decisions, you know, that's fine. But maybe it's just the fact that everything she turns, you know, gets, you know, touches, turns to crap. I don't know. But the other weak sauce that I have to bring up is Strand. And, you know, Strand, I didn't like his actions in this episode at all. And I don't know what his deal is. He's obviously, I think it's pretty obvious that, he's trying to get Proctor John to do something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, yeah. So I don't know if this is because he's like afraid for his life because of Daniel being there, or what. Like, from what I understand, and one of the episodes that I listened to, I think it might have been Walking Dead cast. Not sure, but one of the episodes I listened to this week said that you know, his debt to Proctor John was paid for by Madison, you know, because she gave up the, what was it, gave up the
the money,
that's right, that was right, it was Taka's valuables, gold and whatever he had, you know, and that wiped out his debt. So what's he going to Proctor John for, other than just things that, you know, I don't really understand. All he's got to do is go to the dam, and he can figure out the logistics, which, you know, he tried to say that he could do for Dante, and just shut the hell up. You know, it's like, I don't think that Daniel hates him so much that, you know, he'd kill him in his sleep or something. I don't understand what Strand is doing and why. I don't understand his motivation. I think based on the descriptions that I'm going to read later, obviously he's up mm-hmm. to no good in some way, but it wasn't just that, like how he was so quick to be negative on you know what they were doing, trying to do with Ophelia. You know, he wasn't supporting Madison at all, because to me, and I think I would agree with Madison, I mean, what other choice do they have, you know, and deliver her to Daniel? And, you know, like one of the few times that, you know, Taka, I would have to agree with him, what he said to Madison in the episode, that they're delivering, you know, her to her father, and, you know, mm-hmm, he's going to be able to bury her and, you know, say goodbye. And unfortunately the goodbye part didn't work out, but, you know, the approach I think was sound. So I don't know. Anyway, this is getting beyond weak sauce. This is more into discussion, but yeah. So I don't get you, Strand, and I guess I'll find out next week. All right. So I guess it's time to get into the words of Simon.
We can talk about it.
We're done talking. Time to listen.
All right. So it's our feedback portion. Let's get into what PB and Zane said. Zed. I didn't even mean to. PB and Zane, what she said. That's Judy.
All right. Well, she says, well, finally I watched an episode on the date it was aired. I wasn't overwhelmed by it. It looked like Alicia might have a new pal. What is Strand's plan? And he really looks like he has something up his sleeve.
Well, I already talked mm-hmm, about that. Mm-hmm. The question is, what? Mm,
exactly.
I do not know. All right. Lara says, I like that Fear has differentiated itself from The Walking Dead by showing us the dark underbelly of the apocalypse. Drug dens, brothels, black market teeth, fingers, and hair. Though I'm sure I'm in the minority as someone who likes the darker tone of Fear. I don't think you are, actually, Nara. Also, I actually wasn't surprised by Nick's relapse, since I often doubted that an addict who was as deeply entrenched as he was would ever recover that quickly without one. Though Ophelia's death seemed a little too contrived, dying right as Daniel pulls up to the meeting place, it was, for me, the most heartbreaking death on the show so far. Yeah, I can't disagree with you on the relapse and how it's kind of, I guess part of, you know, my how much I hated it was the fact that he had gone so long without relapsing, and it seemed like, you know, everything was okay, that, you know, he obviously had done some like replacement addiction, I think, but it seemed like he was okay, that he wasn't going to relapse. And the first time he gets a hold of some pills, and it's not the first time either. I mean, if you remember for season two, you know, cutting up the, you know, cutting the pills for Alejandro.
Oh, yeah,
He didn't. Yeah, he didn't get into those. So, you know, he wasn't tempted. In fact, you thought from some of the previews that he was going to dip in, but he didn't. Mm. So, so why?
Yeah, what was it about now?
Why the slip up? Yeah, yeah. Was it the fact that Alicia was not there, and you know, was it that, or was it his covering for Troy? And I have a prediction on that at the end, by the way.
Okay.
You know, or is it just, you know, like I said before, Madison kind of throwing all of her, you know, guilt trip on him. Yeah, I don't know what it was, but I just was disappointed that it happened when it did. I agree with you, Laura, about it being very heartbreaking. I mean, that's what I kind of liked about it. It wasn't cookie cutter, but it was at the same time, if that makes any sense. I liked how they did it.
Yeah.
You know, and they didn't like make her into a zombie. That's something I didn't write in the notes. Apparently, like, the waitress said the word zombie or something that sounded like zombie. Did you hear that?
No, I didn't. Like,
around the time when,
they were having drinks.
When Nick was asking for, you know, where could he get some
stuff.
Drugs, and she told him about the slaughterhouse, and it was around that time that she mentioned zombie or something like sounded like zombie. So that was of note. Do you have anything to say about Laura's
feedback? No, that I mean, yeah, that is kind of one of the things that this show definitely seems to have going for it compared to the parent or to the Walking Dead, because that's what I believe all of us when we first, you know, heard about Fear and start, you know, we're like getting the first episodes in. It was like to be able to see what it was like when everything happened, not the 3 months of like, you know, Rick waking up in a hospital bed empty. It was like getting to see this progression of like basically how the world ends and then what people have to do. Like, yeah, that's what makes the show like kind of very like much more interesting, and just as the time frame. So I'm in full agreement. I love how dark it is. I love being able to see, like, yeah, there's a black market would come up, which you would think that the survivors, that stuff would happen, you know. And then of course, yeah, like, why are teeth and fingers and hair, you know, like all these things that you would think now, like, does have no, like, it's like money that has no worth, but maybe still early on it did, you know. So
yeah, a repellent, I think, is what they're thinking, is, you know, the thought there, which, if you think about it, is similar to the blood thing. But, you know, fingers and teeth, I don't think are going to smell enough to throw off an infected / walker.
Yeah. But I guess, you know, everybody, you know, this is the time when you try those things and find out what works. Because again, you know, like, maybe now it's just popping in my, you know, like what would have been probably a weak side I should have brought up was like, you know, the smearing blood all over your face still seems to work really, really well. So maybe a little necklace of teeth and fingers is enough.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyways.
All right. Deanna, she's got a pretty long one here. Maybe we could split
break
this
it up.
One.
Okay.
All right. All right, so Deanna, she starts with, I admit, this show is my pacifier for The Walking Dead. I'll just say this right now. I think for a lot of people it is, Deanna. I think it is for me, too. Mm-hmm. And So I don't think you're alone with that. I have been watching from the beginning, but I have yet to feel a connection with any one character like I have with The Walking Dead. Again, I absolutely agree with you. So Ophelia's death was just like, oh, they killed her off. Shoulder shrug. I agree that her dying before her father arrived was weak and predictable. And she was responding to, I think, what Laura said. Why kill her off? Her character was an added bonus to the show. I enjoyed how they grew her character from weak to a strong fighting survivor and really wanted to see the reunion with her and Daniel. I feel robbed after that with three frowny faces. All right. Go ahead and take it over.
And then she continues, Nick is back on drugs and taking Troy on a trip with him. I'm not sure how I feel about this. So brain stems are a new drug? That was really gross and disgusting. Nick and Troy stay behind to continue their drug binge? No surprise there.
Yeah, it is very gross and disgusting for sure. She continues, she says, Alicia off on her own surviving and hiding in ball pits with two smiley faces with, what is that, sweat or is that a tear? I don't know. I'm not sure why she just didn't say it. Stay at the top of the playscape. Again, why do these walkers seem smarter and faster? After she killed the first walker quietly and quickly, with no noise, how and why did the other walkers start coming into the restaurant? Are they smelling humans through walls and doors now? That whole scene was predictable and hard to believe, in my opinion. I can't disagree.
Yeah, I can't either. It's like I wonder, because, you know, we don't get to see those kind of shots, you know, to like maybe the walkers were all, because, you know, they do follow each other. So if one of them hears a noise and turns, the others can, you know, basically, oh, here, follow that person because they're going somewhere. So maybe one walker just luckily heard something and just turned and then the rest of them followed. But you know, it was kind of convenient that all of a sudden, okay, yeah, now here's more. Alicia, deal with them. Anyways. All right. Well, she continued on, Strand, what are you up to? Making secret deals on the side? I got a feeling he sold out the dam and the Water Queen. I enjoyed the intro of the new character. Not sure what her name is, but I do understand why she does what she does as far as the cutting of the rings and the taking of the teeth. Apparently, those items are good for swapping at the swap meet.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. Yeah. Although, you know, like you said, that seems crazy now. But, you know, then again, you know, in Atlanta and now in DC area, that, you know, they haven't really tapped into the whole blood, you know, on the body, you know, to the extent that they have in Mexico and the border for, you know, doing what Nick did. And thank God he hasn't done that all season like he did last season with that, because that got really
got annoying.
All right. That is it for our feedback this week. So it's up to us. And I don't think we have a lot left to say on this one. And I still haven't given my rating, so I will give it by the end here. But so, okay. Where the hell is Luciana? I mean, that's the one question that I've got. She's still in the credits, but she hasn't been in there since episode 5. So are we going to see her in the last two episodes, you think?
I mean, now that they're going to the dam, and unless it's Alicia, but, you know, there wasn't any kind of, you know, we didn't see anything like in the, you know, coming attractions or whatever. So you would think that there is, we need to, like, she's going to show up because they have to give some kind of like tell, even if it's into next season, that there's something that she's doing, or where is she, or like, you know, something. Because yeah, why is her name still in the credits? They kind of hinted at like, oh yeah, she's going to Mexicali, or like, you know, going to tunnels or doing something like that. So unless it's, maybe it's Alicia, you know, and her new friend Diana, they run into her.
That is possible.
But I mean, yeah, that would be the only place I could think that that's where she would show up at some point. But if she doesn't show up, then yeah, it's like, what the heck?
I had an awful thought, you know, like we saw those brothels and,
oh,
you know,
and she, yeah, no, that's, she seems too strong for that though.
Yeah. I was going to say, I could see her, you know, showing up at the bazaar, that, you know, maybe she's even there right now.
No, true.
And you know, we never hear about these tunnels. Like, again, that seems like it was, you know, kind of a hint to Fear the Walking Dead hashtag passions, brought to you by T-Mobile, the Uncarrier. Or maybe it's brought to you by Taco Bell, Liv Moss. So anyway.
Well, that's the question, though. It's like, where is she? Like, you know, there's another character that we hear about, but we've never seen, and that's Proctor. So it's like, who is this guy? Maybe she's with him. You know, like, there's still loose ends that need to be tied up.
And, you know, we see a character that we haven't seen before in the previews. So, I mean, we can assume that that's him.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we don't know. So, I don't know. I wonder. I don't know. It's one of those things. It's like, you know, they did so much with her character, mm-hmm, last season. She wasn't a regular. She was like a recurring. And they made her, you know, part of the main cast this season, and then they didn't do much with her.
Yeah.
So I don't understand. It's almost like they paid her for last season or something. It's just odd.
Well, hopefully we do get more answers next week.
Yeah. Do you have anything you want to bring up?
I mean, I guess we didn't really talk much about her little exploration.
No, we haven't talked much about that.
Yeah. And I mean, since I haven't really gotten to do the rewatch and kind of remember exactly what, you know, happened with all her, you know, meeting the new character was kind of cool, because it seemed very interesting how Diana, I think that was her name. She seemed to be a loner, and of course, I guess Alicia's a loner too now. But I found it very interesting how that she kind of, they took to each other pretty quickly. Like, it didn't seem like she doesn't owe Alicia anything. Alicia doesn't owe her anything. And like, why would they stick around? But I guess they both are seeking something, either, like, you know, because they, what did she say? She was all like, oh no, I'm not here for friends. I'm here for killing, or something like that.
Yeah. And, you know, how Diana said stuff like, you know, you're going to have to get used to the killing or something.
But almost, I think, like, just referencing the fact that, you know, she's a loner and she doesn't want to have any connection with friends or something, because I guess that's what kills you. But they seem to find companionship with each other, and that seems to be an interesting arc that the show could be going on, or at least with Alicia's character. So,
yeah, I mean, reminds me of what Eastman said in reverse. You know, everything is about people. And I tend to think that Eastman is correct. And, you know, I don't think that the typical loner can survive long term, you know, unless he or she can get extremely isolated, mm-hmm. you know. But even then, I reminds me of that movie Into the Wild. You ever see that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It just, you know, it's difficult to live just by yourself. So, because it really, you know, everything does, I think, revolve around people. I mean, you get your enjoyment, especially when, you know, you can't watch movies and TV and, you know, listen to music on a regular basis because they don't really exist in the apocalypse, unless you have power somehow and access to those things. You know, there's not a lot to amuse you. It really is, you know, the friendships and the camaraderie that, you know, that keeps you going. So I think, anyway, enough about that. So yeah, I liked those scenes. You know, the ball pit obviously was popular. I don't know. It was okay. I thought that the you know, the kid makes you wonder what happened to that kid.
No, I know. Yeah. Like what happened to you, and why were you just I mean, when that scene happened, she got in there. I was like, girl, you like, did you check it? Like that is exactly where an affected would be. Like, you should have already known that, like, yeah, you don't just go crawling into that ball pit, you know, and think, oh, yeah, this is completely safe and fine. Like, it's like, if it doesn't have a dead child in it, well, the dead children peed in it. So you just go in it. That is a universal symbol of you don't go in there. Don't touch it. I don't know. That's growing up. That's how
yeah, aren't the ball pits like historically a cesspool of germs?
Yes,
you know. Well, any place like that where kids are, you know, you might as well just, you know, wear a plastic bubble around you.
But anyway, yeah,
go into the ball pit with a big ball wrapped around you. Maybe that would help. But yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm surprised that we haven't seen something like that yet.
Yeah.
I guess I'm waiting for, you know, a bouncy castle. now,
I mean, well, we did see one of those, but not with the any infected in it. Season one. When the neighbor, but yeah, not like you're hiding in it and there's just walkers bouncing on it and you get thrown into it.
and they don't have any around here. I don't know if they do in Chicago or not, but or in Oklahoma for that matter. But that was on the go burger. Was that supposed to be like In-N-Out burger?
That's what I thought. I thought it was just like, oh, that at least has some kind of reference to be like, oh, okay. Burger joint. Yeah. I don't know.
It's like the I'm big sure they spot. Can't.
You know, obviously they're not going to pay for the, you know, naming rights to use a McDonald's or whatever. So yeah, it's probably their creative decision, just something similar to fast food joint.
Yeah, unless In-N-Out Burger wanted to pay for it,
mm-hmm.
you know, then again it could have been Hardee's or, you know. Whatever, mm-hmm. whatever's in you know, Southern California.
Well, and also I'd have to give, not that I think she, that, you know, that she did that knowingly or maybe she did, but you know, it's like, I guess there is kind of a point early in the apocalypse, you know, when everything's probably mostly has been ransacked and already taken, you know, going to a fast food place to find food might be a good place because everything there is probably have so much chemicals in it that it's still going to be like not, you know, spoiled. And so you can find those, like, you know, buckets of instant mashed potatoes, because those things will probably survive for another year or two.
Well, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen the videos of like
the probably McDonald's hamburgers. Is that what you're
Thank you for saying it.
Yes.
Yeah, so they'll come after you and not me. But yes, the various McDonald's, like, how the heck?
Like, after
you could leave a McDonald's burger out in the open for, you know, months at a time, and it will basically look the same, which I don't really understand. And it's one of those things where maybe I don't want to. But I don't imagine it would taste the same, though. But anyway, yeah, it has a good, at least, shelf life in how it looks. But anyway, I digress severely, because I don't even remember what I was going to say now, other than, yeah, so, okay. Do you got anything else you want to say about this episode?
No, not that I, that comes off my mind.
Yeah. So, okay. So I guess, you know, we're leaving this episode with, we've got Daniel's bringing them back to the dam. And something's going on with Strand. And we don't, like, I hope the whole Nick thing was just a one-time thing. I don't know. I still don't really get where that is going.
Yeah.
But hopefully we'll find that it was, you know, a one-time thing, though. But sometimes I'll watch, like, the making of, and some of that stuff will get explained. I'll probably watch it after we stop recording, because I didn't get a chance to watch that. Before we recorded. But I would be curious to see if there's any kind of hint from the producers as to what the heck was going on there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, or the, or Frank Delane, or, you know, whoever. But I am kind of curious, because I don't, based on the preview, I don't think we're done with the whole Daniel kind of like being okay with everything. So we'll get into that, I guess, after. But okay, so the elephant in the room. On Saturday, there was New York Comic Con and the Walking Dead panel there. And as part of it, and this wasn't a question that came up, this was actually Robert Kirkman, like, volunteering this information. He said that, I took this directly from the AMC website. Okay, so this is not just Kirkman saying this. He's not trolling us with this information. This came directly from AMC.com. It says this. It says, you know, at New York Comic Con 2017, this is directly quoted from their site. Executive producer Robert Kirkman announced that The Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead will converge over the next year. A character from one of the series will cross over onto the other, bringing the two dead worlds together. And then it just says, more details will be revealed soon. All right. So, I've got a lot to say about this one, and I have a prediction on who it is. I haven't shared this with you yet. But before I do any of that, and we get, because I'm going to wait until we get into the feedback from the poll.
Oh, okay.
Before I reveal my thoughts. What do you think about all this?
I actually am excited about it. I mean, you know, they did, you know, originally or early on, it was like, oh, no. Like, this is, that's not going to happen. And it got shot down. But,
So why do you think they're doing it now?
Maybe it has something to do with the new showrunners and maybe with a change of, you know, because AMC probably would like to have, you know, something feeding off each other to raise up the, you know, ratings or the hype around it. So maybe they're wanting to somehow do something for Fear to kind of bring the Walking Dead audience that hasn't been watching it over.
I think you're right about that. I think you're right about that in with everything you said. I think it is. You've got new showrunners coming in. You've got Gimple, who's now going to be an executive producer on the show, and you know, he's not show running, but he is certainly consulting, and supposedly he's heavily involved with the show. I don't know what exactly that means,
right? But I've heard that too.
And it's like, yeah, but conceptually, anyway, he's going to be involved and kind of like, you know, guide them along, and you know, for the most part, I've been very happy with Gimple's, you know, show running. I mean, hasn't been perfect. There's certainly been some things that I haven't agreed with, but you know, on the whole, he's done a pretty good job. You know, like there are people out there that still, you know, trumpet Darabont, but some of the crappy things about the first season and, you know, the whole farm thing, that was on Darabont. Like that it was Glenn Mazera who took over. His show running, essentially, like the first episode that hadn't been touched by Darabont was the mid-season finale, like the Pretty Much Dead Already, when Sophia was in the barn. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, and that's when that season got good. So, I mean, and there's that whole like backstory thing that Darabont wanted to do where he was going to like follow that, that soldier that was in the tank. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've heard that story.
Yeah, I've heard it.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't know long term if Darabont would have been the showrunner. I think, you know, everyone is fond with how he started the show, but I don't know if he would have been good continuing. And, you know, he sounds like a crazy man in those emails. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't know how much we talked about that. But, you know, over the hiatus, there was a lot of stuff that went well. You know, published about his lawsuit and the emails that he, you know, let out during that time. And, you know, he just sounds like just an awful, crazy man who would have been, you know, really difficult to work with. So Mazera took over for him. And, you know, everything that I, you know, I say a lot of great things about him. He was very approachable. I mean, I even like, you know, exchanged several things with him on Twitter, you know, back when he was show running, you know, long before I was podcasting. I wouldn't say I was like having these big discussions.
Right, but getting like,
yeah, a response. Yeah, I got responses. I like, he actually answered me on several things and, you know, retweeted me when I said, you know, nice things and stuff like that. So I thought that was really cool. And, you know, he was very approachable. I mean, he was, you know, on several podcasts back then. And, you know, so he was really good in that manner. Now, where he failed, and I think that's why he left the show, was the end of the third season. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and to a lesser extent, but certainly, you know, only slightly so, what he did with Andrea. Because I think that Andrea, of course, was, you know, in the comic book,
right,
plays the position, or, you know, took the position that Michonne does on the TV show. And, you know, I think that that was kind of wasted. You know, her character was wasted and not dealt with very well. But how he, you know, the way that he ended season three, and, you know, the whole governor is like, where the hell is the governor? And, you know, Gipple spent, you know, the first part of season four trying to fix up. You know,
yeah,
you can't say great things about him, but in the end, Gimple, on the other hand, has had several missteps, but by and large, I mean, you know, when he was just a writer on the show, I think that he was probably one of the strongest writers on the show, and he certainly, you know, continued that. I think where he's misstepped, were on, you know, like the trash people, mm-hmm. the dumpster stuff. So, you know, his rule hasn't been perfect, but I think he's been good at it. So anyway,
what is this bizarre segue that's happening right now? Can we maybe stay on point?
All right, I'll stay on point.
Back to the crossover.
Yes. So anyway, with Gimple consulting the new guys, it seems like a good point in it. They can advance the fear timeline some. You know, we don't know how much they can, but, you know, anyway, it's by the end of this season, they will have advanced to a point where they don't have to be on the same timeline, I think, but they can be closer. So mm-hmm. anyway, there is a potential there to have a character that, you know, started on Fear and ended up on The Walking Dead. You know, it could be a character from the past that, you know, ends up on Fear, or it could be a character that was on Fear that went away, that, you know, ends up on Walking Dead, or could be a new character for all we know. Who knows? Mm-hmm. Again, I do have a lot to say about this after we hear from other people, but yeah, so I don't want you to answer the question of who you think it might be yet. We'll talk about that in a bit.
Okay.
But do you think it's a good idea that they're doing this?
I don't see why not. I mean, because, you know, Fear was supposed to be the spinoff, which also was supposed to not really have anything to do with the parent show. But I think we're at a point now in this show that it's starting to make sense, not necessarily that somehow this is going to impact The Walking Dead or vice versa, but almost kind of like a cameo moment, just so that maybe there's a little more backstory from somebody that is now not, you know, that's not on the show, and we get kind of just a neat little like Easter egg kind of, you know, thing where it's just like, you know, hey, this is like, this is just something more that we get to know about somebody that we liked from, you know, the parent show. So right. If they could do it horribly and then it totally doesn't work, or they could just be just subtle about it and not trying to make it into something bigger, and just so that fans of the show and the universe, we get a little kind of fun moment that's like, oh, yay, that was cool. We got to see more about so-and-so or whatever. And, you know, the rest of the show still does its own thing.
I would agree that it doesn't need to be like this long-term thing. I hope it's going to be a little more than just like, you know, a cameo, like a,
no,
you know, or, you see, oh, and I don't think it's this person, but oh, there goes Daryl, you know?
No, I agree. And a cameo in the sense of like it'll span over several episodes or however long, but it'll be just something that's still not going to, like, they're not going to cross over. Yeah, a character. Because then how would they do that? Because it's like, okay, the character, either it's from Fear going to Walking Dead, so then that character obviously is not on The Walking Dead and then comes to the season 8 or not. You know, it's like, right. is it Alex from Flight whatever, you know, that crash and then she disappeared after 2 episodes? Like, yeah. It just, you know, it's like, don't mess with anything trying to force it. Just like have fun with it. And it doesn't necessarily have to be like a direct impact to either show character wise.
She didn't say this on the Facebook group, but I was in a conversation last night with Laura, and something she said that was really funny. She said that, you know, maybe it's Tobias, you know, that, and, you know, he ends up to be the most badass character on either show, you know, killing walkers with his paring knife. Because you remember he had to go back to get his stupid little tiny knife. That was hysterical. But anyway, that's even worth saying. I have to give it to you, Laura, because, well, pressure. I didn't want to keep your, you know, it's a good time to continue the streak. But anyway, all right. So we had a poll. All right. So the poll was, you know, I kept it kind of like, I didn't want to get into characters in the poll. Like, who do you think it is? Mm. But what I said is like, okay, so who do you think is going to appear? So I gave a bunch of choices. So the overwhelm, I'm not going to go through them all because there were only votes for 3 things. And the winner by a wide margin was that most people, 15 of the 19 people that responded, think that an existing Walking Dead character will show up on Fear the Walking Dead. So, you know, even with an advance in time on Fear, the thought would be, you know, someone either on the show currently or, you know, deceased on The Walking Dead ended up at some point on the West Coast earlier. So, you know, so that is the overwhelming thought. I think that you had mentioned this before, and I didn't really comment on it completely, but I think that Fear the Walking Dead's the one that needs the ratings. Mm-hmm. Both shows have, you know, declined in the ratings, but Fear has declined severely, and it's not deserved because this season has been, I think, really? By far the best season of Fear the Walking Dead, yet people aren't watching it. So it could use the boost. So it only makes sense that a character from The Walking Dead, and, you know, I would even suggest a popular character from mm-hmm. The Walking Dead would appear on Fear the Walking Dead. And we'll get into that a little bit as some people also give their comments to it. But the other two that got votes were an existing Fear the Walking Dead character appears on The Walking Dead, got 2 votes, and then the proverbial I don't care got 2 votes. And the people that voted for that, I'm not going to single them out, but I know that they watch both shows. So it's not really a question of, you know, some of the other polls that I've done where, you know, the people that aren't watching the show, you know, like, get all snooty and go, I don't watch it, I don't care. this time, the 2 people that voted that, you know, don't care. So All right. So we got quite a bit of comments on that, which I had asked for in there, and, you know, had also said in the comments, like, you know, if you have any thoughts as to who it would be or, you know, why they would do this, give them in the comments. So I'll start with the first one.
Okay.
Faith, who we haven't heard from in a very long time, she used to both contribute to the Fear the Walking Dead episodes and the Walking Dead episodes, but she kind of stopped watching during season 7. I don't think she's been watching Fear at all this season. I know she's busy. I know she's working on an audio drama podcast. So maybe she can, she probably won't hear us actually, but maybe we'll find out a little bit more about that. Anyway, so Faith, she said, I think it has to be someone from The Walking Dead on Fear the Walking Dead, since the timeline is ahead. Otherwise, it kind of feels like it would be a spoiler unless it was a teaser for the following season of Fear the Walking Dead. Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, and then Reese Nicole Brown, she says, I think a character from The Walking Dead that will appear on the Fear the Walking Dead. I think it'll either be Abram, because he came to the show pretty late, and we don't know a lot about what he was doing before he met Rick's group, or it could be Negan, and they could use Fear the Walking Dead to tell his backstory.
Huh.
It's a lot. I guess let's continue, because...
Yeah. 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 Okay. So, Kristen... She had a much different take, and you can guess what she voted by her response here. She said, I can't pick any of these. Not only do I not care about this, but it cheapens the show, especially the original. I don't want to see any of my beloved characters, dead or alive, showing up in Fear. Nope. And I know Kristen watches Fear. Okay. So I said to her, my thought is that the only way they would do it, I think at this point, I think they would be really stupid to do like a little cameo thing or like a stunt casting kind of thing. Like, since I'm, you know, doing the Star Trek, podcast right now, reminds me of, in the pilot of Next Generation, you know, Encounter at Farpoint, we see, you know, 137-year-old Dr. McCoy, you know, show up on the Enterprise, you know, escorted by Data. And, you know, that was stunt casting. That, you know, that was a cameo that, you know, didn't really bring anything to the story. It was just kind of a cool thing.
Yeah.
And I don't want to see anything like that on either show. I don't want to see like, oh, Madison, you know, just happens to have one of her old photo albums, and we see that a picture of Rick, or we see, you know, that she's related. We find out that her last name's Dixon or something. You know, her maiden name was Dixon or something.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear anything like that or see that. I think if they're going to do it, it needs to add to the story.
And needs to add to The Walking Dead. Because, I don't see how it could be the other way, because we would see this character on this coming season. Obviously, we're not going to know until next season 4. To me, it just doesn't work like that. You know,
right.
Like it should be the other way around. That's our parent show. We're going to get something about one of our characters that we love and enjoy. And it should be something that definitely, you know, tells more of, you know, backstory or whoever this character is that they choose to do this.
Yeah. I mean, yes, we could find out that Madison's related to Rick, you know, Rick's long lost sister, or, you know, or a second cousin
twice removed.
Yeah. You know, her maiden name is Grimes, you know, whatever.
She was his, like, he was like his two doors down neighbor. There.
Yeah. I don't think that's going to happen. I think it needs to be significant. I think if it's anything kind of like gimmicky like that, I think it's just going to be really stupid. But, you know, I think I'll give Faith's she actually had something else to say after I think she saw what Kristen said. And responding to my response, she said, I think it could legitimately add to the storyline as well as be a way to increase viewership. I mean, I love storytelling and the art of television, but it is still a business. As long as the integrity of the story isn't hurt, I think it could be cool. And I agree. I think that there's, you can do it in a tasteful way that adds to the story and gives something that people really want to see. And if it's done in a, you know, and like, I agree with the majority. I think that it has to be a Walking Dead character appear on Fear the Walking Dead. And there is the potential there for, you know, many of the characters that we know that maybe weren't around at the start. Okay, so someone that came in season three or, you know, later, or even much later, appear in Fear. And that could work, you know? And you know, to that end, I guess I'll say this too, since I keep talking. Avelino, as far as two of those people that kind of fit that billing, he says, since Abraham and Eugene's story started in Texas, this would fit geographically. Then either or both appeared in Fear the Walking Dead. That's possible. At least, you know, they're closer, you know, they're maybe not West Coast, but they're, you know, more than halfway there.
They're closer to where Fear is at right now. That doesn't necessarily mean that it's not the case, but anyways, I will continue.
So Laura had something to say, so I'll shut up and let you give it up.
All right. Well, Laura says Avelino, or in response to Avelino's comment, was like, I believe the ranch is supposed to be in Southern California, though not far from Mexicali. I'm not sure exactly where along the border of the ranch was supposed to be, but I know they came from Tijuana and Luciana was headed towards Mexicali. So the ranch and the dam must be somewhere in this vicinity of, you know, Southern California and Baja.
Yeah. I know that Madison proposed the bazaar as the meeting place because supposedly that was equidistant, you know, so that would assume that would put, you know, whether it's actually equidistant, who knows, but I'm thinking that would put the ranch somewhere east of Mexicali, but probably still in California based on some other clues that we have. So maybe like in the southeast corner of California. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if that quite makes it equidistant, but you know, if they're not like right on the border, you know, like, you know, feet from the border, you know, maybe a little ways from the border, that might work. I don't know, but
see. All right. Well, you want me to go to the next one?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Okay. Well, PB and Zane, she says, I agree with you guys, Abraham or maybe Eugene.
Yeah. So the thought there, and Laura kind of, you know, pointed it out that the ranch is supposedly in California. So, like, yes, that's Texas is certainly a lot closer to California than like Georgia was, and certainly Virginia is. But it's still, you know, that would make it so that they would have had to go west before they went to DC. And from what we kind of understand from the backstory that we do know, that Eugene kind of pushed to go to DC. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and I think they were in Houston.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. It was in Houston. Yeah, Rosita says that.
Yeah. So, it would stand to reason that, you know, maybe that doesn't quite work. But, you know, there are other characters that it could be. And one of them gets brought up by, actually a couple of them get brought up by Steve. He says, okay, admittedly, he says, I have not watched Fear since season one. And Steve, if you're listening, you should watch Fear. And you could make the point of don't even bother with season two, just go to season three. Because I think you could. I think you could legitimately just skip over season two if you didn't want to watch it. Go straight to season three because it's, you know, a different story. And I don't think you need to know everything that happened.
Yeah.
You know? Anyway, unless they advance the timeline, it would have to be one of the non-Georgia characters from The Walking Dead to fear The Walking Dead, I would think. Maybe the governor with his pre-Zed daughter could show up. It could be Bob or Rosita even. They were both with groups that did not live before coming to Rick's group. This could be a way for them to end Fear the Walking Dead as well, with that character leaving after everybody else is dead, Zed, or scattered. Just a thought. Yeah, well, you know, I mean, if that is their intention to, you know, wrap it up, I could see that. But I wanted to point out singly here, Bob. Now, I could see Bob. That's a character that could work. He's not on the main show anymore. And we know that he was with two groups who he was the sole survivor of. So he was in two big groups that, you know, perished. And he's the sole survivor. Well, maybe he wasn't the sole survivor. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe he was in a group with the fear people, and you know, he didn't say he was on the West Coast. You know, he could have been. There's nothing to say that he wasn't. But you know, maybe his first group or his second group even was with the people on Fear in season four, and we don't know that. Maybe he was at the bazaar. You know, so anyway. We don't know these things, but Bob, you know, he could work. The timeline, I think, would work, but he's not that like big. He's a like character. You know, people do like Bob, but you know, would that have that much of an impact? Because you know, it's like, if they're going to do this, you know, do it right, mm-hmm. I figure. Yeah. So, to me, it's got to be somebody big. Probably someone who is on the show now or just left that we don't exactly know. So, Abraham could possibly fit that, although, you know, with the caveat. We know that, I think you said Houston, I think Rosita at one point mentioned Dallas. So, you know, maybe if they're going east, maybe they hook up with, you know.
Yeah, I mean.
You know, Eugene or Abraham or Rosita or all of them. That's possible. You know, it's nothing to say that they got to stay around the border next season. You know, we don't know.
Yeah, totally.
So, yeah, I mean, there's possibilities there. And, of course, Bob would be a possibility. I just don't know if he's an impactful enough character. And I think, isn't Lawrence Gilliard Jr. One of the stars of that HBO show, The Deuce? Now, I know that's playing. I haven't watched that show, but I believe he's one of the people on that show. All right, why don't you take the next one?
All right. Laura says, no to Abraham, Eugene, or Rosita. Bob would be okay. I'm still pushing for Morales to show up after losing his family and having an opportunity to become a bigger character on Fear, since he was just written off of the Prime show without any kind of follow-up.
What do you think about that
one? No, that's a good one. I'm trying to think what was his situation again?
Well, okay, so Morales left the quarry with his family this was while what's his name?
This was you mean season one?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I was getting characters kind of mixed up with him. No, and I've heard his name come up different times just on, like, you know, a character that just disappeared and we basically don't know anything about. So we have nothing that can, you know, like, mess up any kind of, you know, he's like the perfect character now just because he's like, oh, yeah, there was nothing ever really said other than in the beginning he was like, I'm going to go, you know, go find my family and take the rest of his kids and stuff. So that would be interesting. But
that was, sorry to interrupt you. And that was, you know, the episode where they discover that Jim was infected.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, he basically says that he and his kid or kids, I think he had kids, multiple, and his wife were going to head to Birmingham. And that he had family there. So, you know, and we never see him again. So, yes, he could be somebody. And, yes, he could even be someone that, you know, ends up on Fear Season 4 and stays there. So, he ends up being a permanent fixture. Mm-hmm. The problem with Morales is I don't think enough people remember him. You know, he wasn't that big enough of a character even in season one. You know, it was kind of a background guy. So people always wonder about him, but I just don't know if he is.
That's the strong enough tie to The Walking Dead and to, I agree because it seems like. When you think about what the intentions of AMC probably are, then it's going to be somebody fairly important to the universe and the story to, you know, like that's going to, you know, because that'll pay off in the end for them. I don't think Morales would pay off because how would he then, where would he come with? Yeah, it's just that he's the cameo, but then just stays, you know, over in the Fear side. And then we only just have the connection to the Walking Dead just because he was in, you know, season one. So,
yeah. So, you know, that's kind of my argument against him.
Kind of agree.
Yeah.
Or my feelings too.
Yeah. Reese Nicole Brown, I don't know if she's any relation to Yvette Nicole Brown. I had to say that. Sorry, Reese Nicole. anyway, She says it has to be a fairly popular character or the crossover will be a waste, because I think the whole purpose is to draw more viewers to Fear the Walking Dead. Having Bob or somebody like Morales wouldn't be an event worth watching.
Nice. And I did not read her comment. I haven't been on Facebook the last 2 days. So I was just thinking, that's exactly what I said. And, you know, I'm glad that I can agree with you, Reese. I didn't steal your comment.
All right. So who do you think it is?
You know, I've gone back and forth because there's so many possibilities, but I'm thinking I've been leaning more heavily to Abraham or just that group, Rosita, Abraham, Eugene. I know that they were in Texas, but like Abraham, you know, like we got a little bit of his story that, you know, he lost his wife and kids, but do we know exactly where that supermarket was that, you know, he killed the group that he was with? You know, like there's still stuff that we don't know about him. He could have been in the military on the West Coast because he was stationed there and then made his way across, you know, the country to ending up in Dallas or wherever. And then that's where that all gets tied in.
Yeah.
And plus, you know, he was a big character and losing him in such a horrible, horrible way, you know, and it's like, it would be interesting to see how he might have been before he lost his family.
Well, I think Abraham would be a great character for them to do it with. He certainly was a popular character. And, you know, if he could show up on Fear, I think that would be a good one. But I don't think it's him. All right. So, I think it's Negan. Yeah. And Reese Nicole mentioned Negan as well. So, you know, I strongly believe it's Negan. Okay, so why do I think it's Negan? Well, right now, there is a special comic book issue that I know was in, I think, featured in issues of some Image Plus or some magazine, but is now like a separate issue that you can buy where it's here. I think it's called Here's Negan or something like that. Well, anyway, so it's the backstory of Negan. Well, people, especially me, I will say, want to know what the devil is with Negan. What makes this guy tick? Where did he come from? How did he develop into this character? Wouldn't it be a fantastic opportunity to go back in time in Fear the Walking Dead and give us some of that backstory? So, and he would be probably, you know, I don't think he could do it with Daryl because Daryl was there in season one. Uh-huh. We know that Morgan, who I think would be another popular character, but we know that he was pretty much in Georgia the whole time.
Yeah.
So I don't think he would work. You can't do it with Rick. You wouldn't be able – the governor maybe, but there's a very short timeline where that would work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't think it would be him. I heard Merle suggested, but you're telling me that Merle, you know, ends up, cuts off his arm in Atlanta, somehow ends up on the West Coast, and then comes back to Georgia to work for the governor. I don't think that works either. So then you have to look at characters that, you know, came later. And Michonne might, but again, that's a pretty short timeline to fit her in there. Because we don't know if for sure she was out of Georgia, I don't think.
Yeah, we don't know that. I mean, but, you know, we did get a little bit of her backstory with her son and her boyfriend, husband, or whatever. You know, they did that whole thing where, you know, she was obviously in some kind of nice, maybe apartment skyscraper building. And then she did say that she was with the group that ended up getting overrun and they were high on drugs or whatever. So, I mean,
yeah.
It seems like for her to be walking around with two, you know, corpses or whatever, like she would have been somewhere similar distance within where the where the farm was, the Green's farm. Like it wouldn't make sense. It's, oh, she walked from California all the way there in that span of time that we're kind of talking about to show up. At least that's what I think.
Yeah. So anyway, I think it's Negan. I think that his story, you know, as said, there's a whole, you know, issue you can buy that features it. I think that it is a story that people want to know. So I think he fits, and he would be a draw to Fear the Walking Dead. He wouldn't have to, you know, you could show that in a single episode or two. So it wouldn't have to be a long appearance in Fear the Walking Dead. But I think he would be the one. So if I was a betting person, I would put pretty much all of my money on that fact. So, you know, we'll see.
Yeah. No, it would make the most sense. And now, because I did forget, I knew there was some backstory or another, like a comic thing that they released about Negan. And I stopped reading the comics so I wouldn't spoil the main show. But I mean, yeah. When you think about what's the biggest bang for your buck? And yeah. Right now that would be Negan for sure.
Yeah. And I think like another character that might work would be Ezekiel.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. To me, Negan has more of a possibility than Ezekiel. Ezekiel would work, I think, but I think it would work even better if it was if it were Negan.
Mm-hmm.
So
well, but so yeah. Now just let's run with that. Okay, we know how Negan is currently on our show. Does that spell death and destruction for our crew here? Like, are they going to end up getting wiped out by baby Negan? It's kind of makes me worried if that's going to be bad for them.
Yeah. So anyway, that's my take. I've said enough. I think it'll be Negan. All right. To submit your feedback, one of the ways you can do it is go to goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback, where you can submit text or audio. Use the SpeakPipe widget that's on that page. You can also call the feedback line at 304-837-2278. Or like most people, you can give us your feedback on the Facebook group, which, you know, it's a great bunch, and you know, it's lively, and I think it's always been really good. Of course, Kyle, we first took notice of him. Of course, Ruthie knew him from childhood, but you know, that's how Kyle first contributed to us so wonderfully that he became a part of the show. So anyway, that is at facebook.com/groups/walkingdeadgsm, stands for Golden Spiral Media, of course. The deadline for feedback for Fear the Walking Dead's season finale episodes, which are next week, are going to be 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central, the Tuesday after that. Those episodes have aired. That would be on the 17th. Now, we extended the deadline a little to Wednesday this week because we had to record a day late. But we should probably do it on Tuesday night this time. So, gave you the Facebook group. You can also reach us at Walking Dead GSM on Twitter. And you can help support us by subscribing to us on iTunes/Apple Podcasts. To find us, you can go to goldenspiralmedia.com/Apple, or just do a search for us for The Walking Dead, or if you really want to find us fast, just put in Talk Through, and we are one of the first results for Talk Through. And if you're subscribing, you can help us out even more by giving us a 5-star rating and or review. And it's been a heck of a long time, I think since April, that we've gotten any reviews on Apple Podcasts / iTunes. Now, pretty much they call it Apple Podcasts because, you know, everybody's not using iTunes like they used to, and it's called Podcasts on the Apple app. So anyway, write us a review, write us a rating. It will help us get noticed even more. Subscribe to us, though. That helps even more, even more. Other ways to support us can be found at goldenspowermedia.com/support. And we may do a Patreon group come soon when we get to The Walking Dead being back. We have to work out those details, but that's something that we've discussed some. Not sure what we would do with it, so, you know, we'll figure that out if we're going to do it. But that, of course, would help support us. But other ways to support us would be to go to goldenspiralmedia.com/support. Also, on our blog posts, we mention usually a little affiliate link on Amazon, and that helps out the network to, you know, if you use that link or put that extension in to you know, use the link. I think it's THEFR08-20. That helps support us by, you know, getting a little kickback from Amazon every time you purchase. So, goldenspiralmedia.com/support or that and other ways to support the network. Okay, so the last two episodes are going to be on Sunday night. So we have season 3, episode 15, Things Bad Begun. And it looks like you found out the director.
Yeah. It was on the Walking Dead wiki, or like, you know, the Wikipedia that listed all the episodes. So those got put in there. Didn't have anybody, well, who was written by it, but it's Andrew Bernstein, which he's done many episodes for this season.
And he's a co-executive producer on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Why don't you give that description?
All right. Well, the description is, Strand's motives are made clear when Nick discovers a new threat descending on the dam. Madison faces a horrifying revelation.
What horrifying revelation could that be?
Do not know.
Could it possibly be something to do with her killing her dad?
Well, I mean, possibly, which I guess that would lead into the next description for the next episode.
Yes. And why don't you take that?
All right. So the next episode, or the finale, is season 3, episode 16, Sleigh Ride. And again, directed by Andrew Bernstein. And the description is, Strand's loyalty is tested when the dam clashes with an adversary. The Clark family is pushed to new extremes as Madison reckons with her past.
Yeah.
Well,
so that whole thing, reckons with her past.
Yeah. Well, and she's come somewhat clean to her kids about her past. But what's the horrifying revelation?
Yeah, that's the question.
Yeah, that's kind of what it's like. But yeah, no, everybody else besides the kids don't know about it. But then it also seems like, what would make them or push something to get that out?
Yeah, I mean, did she, like, you know, trigger, you know, some repressed memory?
Repressed memory.
Or, you know, did she, like, realize that her actions killed, you know, like, drove her husband to kill himself? Something like that? Or, I don't know. Or that, you know, Nick, or, you know, when it comes to Nick, you know, Mr. Clark is not the father. Maury style.
Well, no.
They do a DNA test and they find out that they're not brother and sister, you know, Alicia and Nick are not, or only half brother and sister.
Like
or something.
Yeah, like you are not the father. well, no. Now you kind of look at it. It's like, so Madison faces a horrifying revelation, and then the second episode's description says the Clark family is pushed to a new extreme. So, you know, we're not losing any of them per, you know, like from a death, but maybe this is where there is a split.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
We'll find out.
You know, maybe something that, Madison or, you know, the kids don't know that hasn't been, you know, really said yet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And then the whole Strand's loyalty and Strand's motives. Mm-hmm. So I really want to know what the deal is, because it does seem like he is making, you know, that this adversary has to be this Proctor John.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's the only other group that we've kind of have any kind of knowledge about. And Strand obviously was trying to plot against Matt or his current group.
The thing that's not on there is, you know, we see a scene on an upcoming scene from Fear the Walking Dead where Daniel kind of quizzes Nick about, like, where was he when, you know, Ophelia died and stuff like that. And so I have a feeling that he's going to figure out that that Troy essentially, you know, brought the herd on the ranch. And Daniel's not going to like this too much. So I wouldn't be surprised, prediction, I wouldn't be surprised if Daniel kills Troy.
Kills Troy, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, this could be when his plot armor runs out.
Well, anyway, that's it for this episode. So until next time, I'm Brian.
And I'm Kyle.
And this is
Fear the Walking Dead Talk-Through.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Are you a podcaster who loves creating great content but gets overwhelmed by the audio editing process? Are you a business professional or an entrepreneur that wants to start a podcast but aren't sure where to begin? You need Pro Podcast Solutions. Pro Podcast Solutions has a robust suite of services to equip podcasters and help podcasters create better content than ever before. Visit ProPodcastSolutions.com today and find out how you can get your first episode produced for free. That's ProPodcastSolutions.com.